Hey Israel Story listeners, it's Mishi. Our last Sign, Seal, Delivered episode was all about Rachel Cohen Kagan, who was one of only two women, the other being Golda Meir, who signed the Declaration of Independence. On January 25th, 1949, she was elected to the very first Knesset, as the head of the Witzo party.
After the Declaration of Independence, there was the first Knesset.
That's Oren Kagan, Rachel Cohen Kagan's grandson and closest living relative.
The printing of posters was an important part of Israel's first election campaign. 1,200 candidates from 21 parties to be chosen for 120 seats by an electorate of under 500,000.
She was a member of the Witzo party that was supported by women.
The campaign is reported as being a pretty noisy affair, but that was quite natural on such an exciting occasion.
I think it's the only time that there was a party for women.
All shades of opinion, from the United Religious Front to the Communist Party, had to be expounded by loudspeaker and by poster. Anyone, Jew, Christian or Muslim, who was over 21 and was in the country before last November could vote. Proportional representation is the system.
And she, as a lead of women and head of Witzo, prepared the law for equal rights for women and family.
10 other women besides Cohen Kagan were elected to that first Knesset, which meant it was over 90% male. Thankfully, the situation has changed since then. But still, only 29 women gained seats in the parliament in the most recent elections, making the Knesset less than a quarter female. Now, no one in Israel knows more about the topic of female members of Knesset than Shavit Ben-Aryeh, whose story we told back in one of our very first episodes. So, in honor of Rachel Cohen Kagan, here, right after the break, is our 2014 story, Mr. Female Members of Knesset. We'll be right back.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, we're back. Here's our 2014 story, Mr. Female Members of Knesset.
Hello?
Safta, hi, it's Mishi.
What, darling?
It's Mishi.
Rafi?
Mishi.
Who is it?
It's Mishi, Safta.
Rafi?
No, Mishi, your grandson.
Shalom.
Shalom, Safta.
Ah, Yofi. Mama Shtanuk, to hear your voice.
That, obviously, was my Safta, my grandma, Zina. Two winters ago, a few days after a big snowstorm in Jerusalem brought down a 60-year-old pine tree on the roof of her home, my Safta died, just 3 months shy of her 99th birthday. When you die at such an old age, most of your friends are already dead themselves, but still, a ton of people showed up at my Safta's shiva. Of course I knew most of them, you know, family, friends, neighbors, all kinds of people my grandma had worked with over the years. But one morning this young man walked in. He was 20-something and had this short brown beard. He sat down on the couch and kind of looked around. I figured he was probably a friend of one of my cousins and I waited for someone to go up and talk to him. But when I saw that wasn't happening, I introduced myself. We began talking. That's how I met Shavit Ben-Aryeh. Pretty quickly, it turned out that Shavit knew my Safta quite well. He had visited her, they had had tea together, he interviewed her, and then he even wrote a short biography of her in his book. But the real surprise came when he told me that for the last few years, he had been nominating her anonymously, and without us even knowing, for the Israel Prize, every single year, again and again. Needless to say, It's not every day that you discover that someone who isn't even a relative, and who you didn't even know existed, is so interested in your grandma. I just couldn't stop asking him questions. And before too long, I realized that if most people's childhood idols are people like Harry Potter or Lady Gaga, Shavit had slightly different teenage heroes. Less Justin Bieber, more Tamar Gujanski, Beba Idelson, Shoshana Arbeli Almuznino, and Geula Cohen. And don't worry, if you've never heard of any of these ladies before, that's totally fine. Most Israelis haven't either. They're all former female members of Knesset, the Israeli parliament. Many of them honestly are pretty minor figures that have been forgotten long ago. But not by this man. Not by Shavit. Who, I began to understand, probably has the most unique obsession I've ever heard of. Yup, I guess we can say that Shavit's greatest passion in life is female members of Knesset. After the Shiva ended, we started going through my grandma's papers, drawers and drawers full of them. And there, tucked away between like a zillion old electricity bills from the 80s and Shana Tova cards from all kinds of Dutch relatives, I found an envelope. Inside was a page torn out of a notebook, and on it, in this clearly childish handwriting, was the following message.
Dear Mrs. Zina Arman, I'm Shavit, a 13-year-old kid, and I collect famous people's autographs. As one of Israel's 48 current or past female members of Knesset, I'd be delighted to receive yours. Thank you, Shavit.
At the very bottom of the page was this squiggly signature that kind of looked like a kid trying to copy the signatures on the Declaration of Independence or something. I called Shavit and brought him the letter.
Wow. I can't believe she kept it.
Of course she did. Of course she did.
Shavit wrote this letter to my grandma when he was 13, but in order to understand this whole fascination with female members of Knesset, we need to go even further back.
As a kid, I don't know, I was like maybe 10 or something, I began collecting autographs of famous people. It was right after Rabin's assassination, and I started sending letters to the cabinet ministers, to former chiefs of staffs of the army, to heads of the Mossad, chairman of the Federal Reserve, you know, people were in the papers. People from the civil service, which I guess interested me from a really young age. I really looked up to those people at that point.
So while all his buddies from elementary school and junior high were busy honing their soccer skills or playing spin the bottle, Shavit was into correspondence. He would send...
It was a standard letter, just of a little kid, where I'd say I was collecting signature and asked him to send me theirs. It was all done by mail,
Oh, because this was before email.
Yeah, I mean, the entire process was pre-internet. Paris was prime minister then, so I asked him what he was doing for peace. Yossi Sarid was Secretary of Environment, so I asked him about recycling bins in my neighborhood. But generally speaking, it was really a short letter, maybe like 2-3 lines.
And did anyone reply?
Yeah, a lot did. The collection is... I have hundreds and hundreds of autographs. Actually, the first autograph I received, I don't know if it affected me later on, was Minister Oran Amir, who was one of only two... female ministers in that government.
How did you feel when you got your first autograph?
You know, I was 11 years old. I got, you know, I would open the mailbox every day, get letters from the government with the state emblem on it, and it was exciting. It was exciting. I remember I would call both my grandparents and tell them about it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Here's Shavit's dad, Yaakov.
This was a daily routine, you know. What did we get today, and who gave a reply, and who is still waiting for, and this was a kind of a daily routine, running to the mailbox to find the letters, yeah. It was nice, it was, you know, we were not as enthusiastic about it and as, you know, obsessive about it, but it was nice to see it, yeah.
Every day, Shavit would run home from school as fast as he could to his parallel world, the one in which he was corresponding with Israel's most powerful figures. This is Nava, his mom.
ולאט לאט הוא ראה שהמשובים הם די מתקרבים ל-100%. He saw that people were actually replying to his letters. Almost all of them, actually, and his appetite grew, I guess. He began studying the history of the state through these autographs. Prime ministers, ministers, current, past. Slowly, he began to widen his circles even more so. He ventured into military men, Supreme Court justices. And finally, he even got to people who signed the Declaration of Independence who were still alive. And believe me, he's a whiz. No one can tackle him. Like, ask him who the second minister of agriculture was, who this one was, that one. No one has a clue. But Shavit will know.
I remember that in summer of 96, my parents sent me to a summer camp in Europe. And I was totally bummed because Bibi Netanyahu had just been elected prime minister and was in the middle of putting together his coalition and cabinet. And I was missing out on it. So my grandpa would update me in letters. I guess I even asked him to, about all the news. Yeah, not exactly a normal thing to do, I know. But that was just what I was into.
Did you, like, try to push him to more sort of, you know, I don't know, quote-unquote normal hobbies?
Well, I did try. You know, I'm an athlete myself, and I'm a fan of all the American sports, and I'm actually watching American football and American basketball, whatever, or baseball. He showed no interest. Actually, when he was in school, especially in high school, he was not even participating in, in gymnasium.
So was Shavit able to find in school, like, any friends that were he was able to share this passion with?
Not really. No, not really. I mean, he was our third son, and it was definitely, different than his brother and sister. It was definitely different than his, our neighbors or whatever. And
what did his older siblings think? Did they think that he was like a big nerd?
Sort of, yeah. I'm a proud dad of a nerd son.
When you got all these signatures, like, what did you do with them? Did you have albums?
Yeah, I have albums. they're kind of collecting dust on the shelves right in back of me. But yeah, I put in so much time into them.
Can you bring them?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'll be back. This is like the first album. So it opens up with the presidents of the state of Israel, goes on to the prime ministers.
After Shavit had exhausted the big ones, current and former prime ministers, cabinet members, and army heads, he didn't really know who to approach next.
I thought this was probably the end of that hobby, that the collection was done, because I couldn't really think what the next group would be. I knew that all the former members of Knesset was just, a tremendous number of people, and current members of Knesset didn't really interest me too much. So I was looking for a group that would be manageable number-wise, but also have really interesting backstories. So I looked into how many women were in the Knesset. And it was a really small number, and I figured that probably in all of Israeli history, there weren't that many that served in each Knesset, so I looked into it. And it was like around 50 women in total. I immediately knew that that would be my next project.
And so, when he was just starting high school, Shavit set off to work. In the next few years, he got in touch with all these ladies. In reply, he got not only signatures, but just as often an invitation to stop by for a cup of tea. Like someone who gets a backstage pass to a Nirvana concert or something, Shavit was totally starstruck.
I remember calling Zehava Galon at home, and, looking back, I had so much chutzpah, I sat in Shulamit Aloni's living room. It was really hard to grasp how amazing all this was while it was happening. Like, you come to a house and you meet someone who actually worked personally with Henrietta Sold, or sat as chair of a department in the Foreign Office in the first years of statehood, and a woman who received a Nobel Peace Prize, not herself, but as chairwoman of UNICEF. Sitting there was basically like a dream.
And yeah, he met with anyone who was willing, and we got sucked in too. He was just a kid, so we had to drive him to all kinds of random kibbutzim around the country, to old age homes.
I really don't know what drew him to this, but, you know, he has many, many nice female friends among the female members of the Knesset.
Pretty quickly, this whole project started to take over Shavit's life. He thought that the only way he could really capture all these experiences, all the stories he heard in the living rooms of elderly ladies who once served in the legislature, would be to write a book. The Book of the Female Members of Knesset.
Yeah, the idea was to collect their life stories, a full bio from birth till, well, in some cases, death, and focus on their parliamentary activity, which was what brought me in touch with them in the first place. So in order to do that, and maybe this is really a weird obsession, in order to get the full picture of what they did in the Knesset, I began reading all of their speeches over the years, thousands and thousands of them.
Wow, what was that like?
Tiring, very, very tiring. I have shelves of their autobiographies, which I read. I even read Pnina Rosenblum's autobiography, a 300 pages one. And, well, let's just say I wouldn't have read it otherwise.
Pnina Rosenblum, just in case you're not up on your Israeli cosmetic product trivia, was a former beauty queen who served for about a second and a half as a member of Knesset.
So what did all these female members of Knesset think about your project?
Well, I would guess to them I was just this young kid who kept on saying he was going to publish a book of their biographies, but I doubt they thought it would actually happen.
But Nava Arad, one of those former members of Knesset Shavit contacted, remembers it differently.
I mean, very few people would do such an impressive project. And here he was, this young teenager, and not some sort of gender studies guy or something.
Nava's now in her 70s. She served as a member of Knesset from the Labor Party for four terms and was later the Prime Minister's advisor on women's issues.
And I remember that he called me up and said that he was writing a book about the female members of Knesset and asked if he could come talk to me, and I said, sure, why not? I was delighted. I thought it was a great idea. I really appreciated his initiative, and he wasn't a nudnik or anything. Didn't have an agenda. And even after that, he'd call from time to time and ask how I was doing.
Now, it's easy to forget that this entire time, as Shavit is running between one former MK and another, he was still in high school, doing his bagruyot, his matriculation exams, and preparing for the army.
I remember I would bring all kinds of letters with me to school that I received, you know, like responses from former female members of Knesset, and the students would at school would think I was playing in the big league, that I was like in touch with the prime minister every day or something. But no, by the time I got to the army, it was pretty clear to everyone who served with me that this was my thing.
Like that you were Mr. Female Members of Knesset.
Yep. Yeah.
Eventually, he convinced the Prime Minister's office to organize a reunion of all the former women members of Knesset that were still alive. Shavit showed up in uniform.
I came straight from my basic training. My commander had to give me special permission.
What did you tell her?
I told her about all about this event that I helped organize, that it was with the Prime Minister's office. I imagine She thought it was basically the most far-fetched excuse she'd ever heard to get a few hours off basic training. But I asked someone at the Prime Minister's office to vouch for me, and they let me out for the evening.
Even after the reunion, when his friends from the army used their precious vacations to take their girlfriends on romantic weekends to the north or went to hang out at the beach, Shavit continued to crisscross the country, meeting up with old ladies and reading up about them in dusty archives.
I devoted a lot of time on Fridays and in the evenings when I got some time off to the project. Whenever I got a day's vacation, I would try and interview a former member of Knesset. You know, today, when I look back at it all, I'm not really sure what kept me going. But really, like, something like 90% of my free time in the army was devoted to traveling around Israel, meeting with them, going to the Knesset, reading their speeches.
Now, in a normal country, you know, with a stable political system, Shavit would get closer and closer to finishing his project. But his biggest problem was that every few years there was suddenly a new election. And that just meant new female members of parliament he needed to meet and interview and research.
I did not think it would take 8 years. I never imagined I would have to deal with three new election cycles, just kept on adding more and more material.
So new female members of Knesset sort of became your biggest nightmare?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The book, which is called The Members of Knesset, Leading Women in Israel, came out, finally, in 2011. And in some ironic role reversal, Nava Arad became sort of a Shavit groupie.
Only when I saw the book did I really understand what a tremendous job he did. I mean, it was always clear that he was this idealistic guy, someone who, you know, once he decided to delve into a topic, he would go all the way. He's really like a ray of light, like a flashlight that discovers all kinds of hidden details. When I read his book, and believe me, I read it cover to cover, I found out all kinds of things about myself that I didn't even know, or other friends of mine who I've known for years. And suddenly, I was learning new stuff about them. He taught all these female representatives about their own lives. Now, if this is an obsession, it's a great one.
Up until the last elections, in January 2013, the day after my grandma Zina died, there had been 93 women elected to the Knesset. After the elections, 16 more were added. So 109 women from 1948 till today. Shavit met up with more than 70 of these women, and with family members of many of those who had already died. He stays in touch with a whole bunch.
Shavit, are you married now?
No.
Because in a way, like, if you get married, your wife would be inheriting, like, dozens and dozens of mother-in-laws, which are all these elderly women that you've collected over the years.
Yeah, she would have to deal with it.
Just before I left, I had one last question for Shavit.
So, Shavit, honestly, do you have a secret desire to be a female member of Knesset?
I guess I'll never be a female member of Knesset, but a member of Knesset? When I started getting to know them personally, when I wrote the book, when I realized life, you know, is more complex than a 10-year-old asking for autographs. But yeah, I have a lot of respect for people who devote their lives in these positions. Once you get to see everything that goes on there from up close, all the amazing work that doesn't end up in newspaper headlines and Facebook statuses, it's really an amazing place. So, member of Knesset? I don't know. Maybe one day.
The other day, as we were finishing up the piece, Shavit emailed me with some exciting news. In March, the 110th female member of Knesset, Nabila Espanyoli, will be sworn into office. And yes, Shavit's on top of it.
That was our 2014 story, Mr. Female Members of Knesset. We'll be back very soon with additional episodes of Signed, sealed, delivered. Till then, shalom shalom, and yalla bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.